Vitally important. I never reject testimonies in the church here because, you know, we are overcomers by the word of our mouth, our testimony, and by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? And they're important. What God is doing in your life, you may think, it's not that big of a deal. But maybe it is. Maybe it's touching somebody that came in today that needs a word of encouragement. And that testimony was a word of encouragement. And I tell you what, I praise the Lord for everyone. Amen? And the King James Bible, by the way, Rick, you know, I just and Rick knows this too, we don't worship the King James Bible. I just believe it's a very reliable Bible. It has not been tampered with, meanings changed, words taken out, even Jesus, the blood, the Holy Spirit, heaven, hell, those words have not been taken out of that Bible for all these centuries. Many of the new versions have, and that's why I loved to use the King James Version. How many brought your Bibles today? Praise the Lord. I like to see all those hands going up like that with those Bibles. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and Lord, we thank you for another day. Lord, it's evident you haven't come yet. We haven't heard the trumpet yet, but I know it's going to be very soon. And Lord, I ask that you would help us to always be aware, to be looking up for your soon return. You're doing a work in this world, Father. We ask that this morning that your anointing be upon the congregation, upon myself, Lord, as I share the word. And Lord, let there be just a sense of unity within this body. And Lord, I don't even understand in these last days. I hear people complaining about churches, complaining about this, complaining about that. But Lord, I'm not seeing them because they're so busy complaining, looking for something perfect. And there's no perfect church out there. We're not perfect here. We're imperfect people. You're using an imperfect people, Father, to do your work and your will. But we do stay with the word of God. We do glorify you, Father. And that's our desire with multitudes of other remnant churches. And Lord, I ask that your anointing pull us together in these last days, Father, that we will be more than conquerors. And we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I preached on suicide a few weeks ago. And I believe that's a very timely message too. And I've heard several news reports on Fox News about suicide rates going up around the world. And it's continuing. The days are getting darker and darker. And we need to be in the Word of God. Like Rick said, going through, God, we don't need to worry about if we're going to get through this thing in 6 months or a year. The fact is we're reading it is what's vitally important. And we need to be in the Word of God. And sometimes, again, I got to preach on things that may offend somebody, may upset somebody, but I'm going to do it by the help of the Holy Spirit and not back away from, because we're living in dark days and they're going to get darker according to what the Lord tells us, and we need to be faithful. You need to be faithful in how you testify, how you live out your life. You should not be compromising your walk along with me. We should be forthright in what we believe is in this book because it is the truth. Amen?
Yes,
I'm giving it to you straight. And today I'm going to speak on the dangers of pornography.
Amen.
You don't hear that in too many churches either, do you? But these are issues that are hitting our country severely. Lives are being destroyed and pulling people in deep into pornography. It's destroying the world, families, the home, and many other things. Pornography is. And if we don't speak on these things from the pulpit, people will keep on doing. And look what's happening in many churches today. They do not preach on sin. They do not preach on things that are destroying, that Jesus warned us about in the scriptures, that can destroy us, that the enemy will use to control us and destroy our lives. And so today, with the help of the Lord, I'm going to preach on pornography. And if there's anybody out here and you have a problem, an issue, take it up with the Lord, because I'm going to base it upon the Word of God.
Amen?
Amen? That's all the way I can do. I'm just like you. I'm one of you. I'm the guy, I'm the messenger standing up here. Praise the Lord. The dangers of pornography. And there's such an increase in it right now. It can't be ignored, can it? It can't be ignored. I'm going to give you some statistics here, so bear with me. Over 40 million Americans are regular visitors to porn sites. 35% of all internet downloads are related to pornography. The average visit lasts 6 minutes and 29 seconds. That's how they monitor people that are in the pornography sites. There are around 42 million porn websites, which total around 370 million pages of porn. The porn industry, annual revenue is more than the NFL, the NBA, and MLB combined. It is also more than the combined revenues of ABC, CBS, and NBC. 47% of families in the United States reported that pornography is a problem in their home. Now, this would be a message I'd like to get into a large church and preach to, but you know the little church has got to hear it too. Because I could be speaking to somebody right now. Pornography increases the marital infidelity rate by more than 300%. 300%. 11 is the average age that a child is first exposed to porn. And 94% of our children will see porn by the age of 14. 94%. What is going to happen to our nation and the access these young children have? And you sitting out here, you say, well, we're an older congregation, Pastor, preach on something else. We're past that stuff. No, you're not. There's no age limit on age. How about your grandchildren? How about your great-grandchildren? Are all being exposed to this filth that's on the internet, television, magazines, and it's up to you and I to be aware of it, that we can work on this within our own homes especially. 56% of American divorce involve one party having an obsessive interest in pornography websites. That's pretty high, isn't it? 70% of Christian youth pastors report that they have had at least one teen come to them for help in dealing with pornography in the last 12 months. 70%. And that's the only ones that were had enough guts to go to their pastor. 68% of church-going men and over 50% of pastors view porn on a regular basis. 76% of 18 to 24-year-old Christians actively seek out porn, and that's according to the Barna Group. 71% teens hide online behavior from their parents. 71%. Little Johnny and Susie might not be who you think they are. 59% of pastors said that married men seek their help for porn use. 33% of women aged 25 and under search for porn at least once per month. The ladies aren't off the hook. It's infiltrated the women of America too. Only 13% of self-identified Christian women say they never watch porn. 13%! 87% of Christian women have watched porn. 87%. Christian women. 55% of married men and 25% of married women say they watch porn at least once a month. 57% of pastors say porn addiction is the most damaging issue in their congregation, and 69% say porn has adversely impacted the church. And it has. That's what's going on in the church today, too. That's why when you see church, and I don't mean to keep hammering on this, but it's a fact of life we're living in. That's why you see the mega churches filling up because of entertainment in the church. They'll go to hear entertainment, but boy, I tell you, you start preaching on this stuff and you'll start seeing a change. But that's what people need to hear, is the truth. See, it's not just a problem affecting men. It's women, teenagers, and children also being caught in the web of pornography. Our children. The next generation's coming up. Do you think Satan is laughing this morning? You bet he is. Technology is pretty awesome, but look what it's doing to the family. Look what it's doing to young minds. I mean, when I was 10 years old, my twin brother and I and my younger brother, we were out in the pasture playing with our little metal trucks in the dirt, pulling them home and building bridges with tree branches and stuff, being creative. And now little kids sit there whatever. They got phones. They have access. And you and I know as well, when you're just innocently in there, something will pop up that kind of wants to take your curiosity to another direction. Amen? It's there. I don't expect it to be rattle-rousing in here this morning. But I tell you what, we got to be aware what's happening within the church here, as well as within our homes and even at businesses. See, we're pitiful people, aren't we? But by the grace of God, Jesus is here and he's our deliverer. He is the worker who hears the cry and sifted through the garbage to rescue you and I, to rescue us. It's Jesus looking for us. You're not looking for him. The scripture teaches me he's looking for us. He's not lost. We are. We got to remember that. And he cares about and has the power to redeem us from the things like drunkenness, drug addiction, pornography, sexual sin, whatever else is controlling your life, God is able to deliver. I've seen it happen many, many times. One time, I may have mentioned it, I was in the Ukraine. We were speaking before about 400 Ukrainians, a leadership thing. And when it was my turn to get up and speak, the Lord led me to speak on pornography as the entry going into it. And when I got done, most of the worship team came forward to repent before God before we even started. The head singers, man and woman, the head people in there with some of the orchestra were weeping before we even got into the total message because the heaviness of the Holy Spirit convicting their hearts knew that they should not be up there until they repent. It's all over. There may be some here today that are still secretly crying out because you've faced some sort of sexual dysfunction. And God knows. And you can no longer resist the temptation because it's been so long since you've been close to God that your spirit is weak and vulnerable. And that's why, like you said, Rick, meant a lot when you were saying it, because we can't stay away from the Word. Even if you don't like reading, you've got to read the Word of God. See, the Bible tells me that it's the washing of the Word. That's what cleanses, it sanctifies us daily. This is what will sanctify you. If you're not in the Word and you say, Lord, why can't I get victory? You need to be sanctified. You need to be set apart. You need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You need to be washed in the Word. That's what a born-again Christian does, being born of the Spirit and born of the water of the Word, not baptism. And we need to be there. I want you to know that Jesus is in within an earshot. He's ready. He's ready at any moment to touch your life and to deliver you and to give you strength to take you through. See, you're in the right place to be delivered from the mess you may be in, and I don't know. But God does. Psalms 40 verse 2 says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit. And it's a horrible pit because most people who are hooked on pornography are not happy people. I've talked to them. I've ministered to them. They're miserable. Out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and establish my goings. That's what Jesus does. Took you out of that miry pit and that horrible pit. And he set your feet on a rock and put a new song in your mouth, even praises to our God. And some people believe church is an atmosphere free from sexual temptation, that no one in the church could possibly be dealing with sins as dark as pornography or sexual addiction. But I want you to know that these things are a lot more prominent in the church than you might believe. U.S. porn revenues are over $12 billion a year in the U.S., $97 billion worldwide, and they're still growing. Child porn alone generated over $3 billion in the United States. Child porn, little children. We got to protect our children. Those children that were up here today are targets of the enemy. Everyone is vitally important. That's why we preach the Word of God and not to be ashamed of it, because it's the power of God unto salvation. Last year, America lost $83 billion in productivity because pornography was being viewed by people on the job. Addiction to sexual stimuli isn't just an isolated problem anymore, people. It's not isolated. It's an epidemic huge of proportions, and every few months it gets worse because internet use doubles every 100 days, they say. So it's going to get worse. Sexual stimuli affects everyone. It hunts us down on television, iPhones, iPads, and over the internet, through magazines, whatever. It's hunting us down. It's after us. You don't have to want to find it. It's going to find you and put you into an addiction. See, it's called the crack cocaine of the spiritual realm because, like cocaine, pornography is highly addictive in nature. A perfectly innocent internet user can be browsing the web, come across a pornographic picture, follow his or her curiosity, and within minutes be hooked on hardcore porn within moments. That's how they get into it. I can't think of the gentleman's name years ago that ended up in prison. He's dead now, but he started out because his dad kept Playboys under the bed. And he looked at one Playboy magazine and he was hooked. And he became a serial killer, killed many women. There are people in every church secretly struggling over sexual issues. And they're too ashamed to tell anyone because they're afraid they'll be thought of as a pervert for the rest of their life. Fear, that's what the enemy uses, is fear on you and I. Someone said, the church shoots its wounded, but we don't hear. We don't hear. Not at Crossfire Assembly. No way. We don't. At Crossfire, we believe in restoration and giving people the help they need. Amen. As what some of you were once, as Paul said. We don't shoot anybody. We're here to help. We don't condemn anybody. And we do not judge anybody, but we need to tell them the truth. And if they want help, they can find it with the people at Crossfire Assembly. Amen? Amen. Nobody's going to point the finger. See, you suffered a shame and guilt long enough, and it's time that you get help. God's will is to win you back, heart, soul, and mind, to a right relationship with Him. And that's where it really is. It needs to be a relationship with Him. He loves us. Amen? Amen. The way in. How does addiction to sexual stimuli begin? Sexual addiction is like dynamite. It's made up of only three individual ingredients: sugar, sulfur, and potassium nitrate. Dynamite. Apart from each other, these ingredients don't do a whole lot, but when they come together in the right ratio, they are volatile and they're very explosive. Sexual addiction is the same way. It begins when just a few seemingly innocent ingredients blend together into a mixture that ends up being extremely volatile in the life of a believer. In the life of a believer. Ingredient number one. Ingredient number one. Isolation. Isolation. Most sin happens when you're alone. Furthermore, we must most vulnerable to sin when we are isolated from God. When we stay away from His word, when we stay away from fellowship, prayer, whatever, we become isolated and it's easier to fall into whatever. Apart from each other's. Ingredients don't do a whole lot, but when they come together in the right ratio, they're explosive. Psalms 121:1-3 says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. See, He's able to preserve us forever. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. Who wouldn't want to follow a God like that? But see, He says right there in His word, your help comes from Him, the Lord. That's who we cry out to, the Lord. who made heaven and earth. Unbelievers are vulnerable to temptation when we're not walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." See, this conflict between the Spirit and flesh is prominent throughout Scripture. You'll read it from Genesis all the way through. It's a prominent thing. Take a look at King David's life. He started out as a shepherd, isolate with God in the wilderness, and he developed a passionate relationship with the Lord. Because he spent time with the Lord, and he knew the power of the Lord on a regular basis, time away with God. That's what he did. He spent time away with God. You and I need to spend time with God through reading, through prayer, through fellowship. We need to spend time. See, he was faithful with little, so God gave David a lot. He defeated Goliath and became famous. Up until then, isolation was the only ingredient. But when he became famous, temptation entered the picture. But then he started to get famous and rich. By the age of 30, David was made king of Israel, and his responsibilities as king slowly began sapping his time away from the Lord. And what had become time of isolation with God became a time of isolation from God. That's why we need to be careful in our work world, as well as in our family, and things we do in recreation or whatever, that we need to put God in there, and we need to spend time with him. Ingredient number two. First one's isolation. Ingredient number two, temptation. When you're dragged away and enticed by your desires. King Solomon, David, and who is David and Bathsheba's son, just as he collected wives, King Solomon did. Even though his sexual addiction was hidden behind the legitimate social institution of marriage, his sexual appetite had spun out of control. You need to be in there reading that. King Solomon, little by little, he became spiritually weak until his ability to resist temptation, the sin, was zero. He became the very thing God asked him not to do. He started with all of his wives and concubines. He started going their way, worshiping their idols, and doing their way of life. His relationship with God was starved to death by the responsibility of life, and by the time he finally strolled out into his balcony one night for some peace and isolation, he was a spiritual weakling is what he was. A sitting duck for temptation. Bathsheba strolled outside naked before him for a bath. Two ingredients were present, which came together in one volatile, explosive mixture: isolation from God and sexual temptation, and David was defeated right there. Notice how addictive it was. One glance, especially guys, one glance. That's all it took. One glance. Are you still with me, people? Amen. One glance, that's all it took, and he was hooked. Next thing you know, he was willing to kill. He was willing to kill in order to fulfill his desire to have sex with her. Soft porn became hard porn within a span of just a few days with King David. With just one look. And the devil put in your mind, doesn't hurt just to look once. Just once. I can control that. Ingredient number three. King Solomon had access to anyone whom he wanted to marry. We can relate that with, we have access to anything right now. Internet, television, magazines, whatever. King Solomon had access to anyone he wanted to marry. David's son and successor, King Solomon, had 700 wives and 300 concubines. You can't tell me he didn't have a sexual addiction. Wow. But so is it with Christian porn addiction. He or she thinks they are safely dabbling on the edges of Satan's kingdom. though he or she tells themselves that he or she is in control and can stop his or her behavior whenever necessary. You ever thought that? It's a dangerous thing. I got control. I'm spiritual. God wants me to know about these things, so I'm aware of them. We'll try to reason anything to look and fulfill our curiosity and try to get past what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. Solomon's life illustrates four spiritual principles that are worth noting. Lust is never satisfied, people. Lust is never satisfied, ever. Habitual immorality always leads the person into the kingdom of darkness. Habitual. Did you hear that? Habitual immorality always leads the person into the kingdom of darkness. Sin always demands total allegiance from its abuser. That's what sin does. Without true repentance, apostasy is the inevitable outcome. We shipwreck our faith. We walk away from the things of God, the God who loves us, the God who we've tasted the goodness of God and done so much, because we get so far into this stuff that we walk away from him and become apostate in our thinking. We're seeing it today, and I can verify that. You can verify it. Just go on the internet and look at that. Even preachers and churches are walking away from their faith in their churches today because they're so hooked into pornography, into sexual sins, and different things going on that they're forfeiting their walk with the Lord. Today, men and women have as much power as King David did. Anyone with a computer can sneak a peek of soft porn anytime we want, night or day. It's there. It's right there, right at fingertip. For most explorers, it escalates into hard porn in a matter of just minutes and burns unforgettable images into the minds of men and women and even children for the rest of their lives. It literally burns into your mind. And once it's in there, I talked to a young man in another church that I was attending before this one. And he came to me one day and he said, I'm hooked on pornography. He's only like 18 years old. He said, I'm so hooked on it. He said, I tried to get rid of it. But he said, every time I close my eyes, every time I sit in a church, these images that I've looked at keep coming to my mind. He says, I want them and they're driving me crazy, but I can't get rid of them. It's because he kept looking and looking and looking. And these computers up here, they receive and they take snapshots. These here eyes right here, they're like camera lens. They're snapping the shot when you look and it goes into the mind and it stays. And it's only going to be the grace of God that can do it, and he can do it. He can do it. There's always hope when you talk about our Lord. Science research says that by looking at pornography, it literally rewires the brain. And that's what it does. That's why it's so difficult to get rid of it once it's in there, because it literally rewires your brain. It's like dynamite. Those three ingredients, isolation, temptation, and access, are the elements. The spiritual realm that lead us into extremely dangerous and volatile sins such as pornography and sexual addiction. Those three things, isolation, temptation, and access. The way out. The way out. How do I resist this temptation and stop this from destroying my life? Isn't that important? How many want to know that? I do. Consider the consequences often. How many people have heard stories of men and pastors and women faced with consequences of whether it's legal, marital, social, emotional, physical issues in life created because of sexual sin? There's millions of stories out there. But here's a consequence for their mind and spirit and body. 1 Corinthians 6:13, meats for the belly and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord and the Lord for the body. See, if we obey what it says, we can avoid a lot of heartache. 1 Corinthians 6, 18-20. Flee fornication. Now that word fornication there includes premarital sex, but also adultery, homosexual acts, incest, remarriage, after biblical divorce, and even bestiality. That's what it says right there in that word fornication when you study it. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The modern feminists are liars. Their body is not their own. It belongs to God. They're lying to you. God created these vessels. They're his. Fornication can mean any sexual contact outside of a monogamous marriage. And what's it do to the mind? It brings guilt, shame, perversion, thought life polluted by disgusting thoughts and images, which convince the person he or she is worthless and a pervert. Self-degradation, humiliation, and separation from God. That's what the enemy does to us when we go his direction. Matthew chapter 6, 22 and 23. The light of the body is the eye. The light of the body is eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? What happens when everyone finds out, you'll say? How does God feel about it? Who already knows? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 and 6. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, meaning our attraction to sexual sin in the world is what it's talking about there, even as the Gentiles which know not God. See, we need to put it away. Who's got to do that? You and I do. Matthew 5, 27 and 29. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Then if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of the members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. God must be really serious about this. I know that's an extreme. You don't want everybody going around plucking their eyeballs out of their head. But that's how extreme God takes this. How important. He'd rather have us all in heaven than that eyeball. If that eyeball is doing what it's doing. Take it out. Take it out of the element of temptation and willpower. Add the element of the Spirit of God to strengthen you by spending time with Him. How to deal with temptation and adultery. If you are tempted to be unfaithful to your spouse, which is better, to nurture the unhealthy relationship, to continue to test the waters and face temptation, or to cut it off and run away. You got that ability to do that. Certainly, if you want to avert a disastrous, life-threatening mistake, you need to cut it off and any and all communication too. It causes the adulterous relationship, the thought life, everything to die by cutting it off completely. Separate from friends or people that influence you to live ungodly lifestyles. Cut off the connection. No matter who it is, how bad it hurts, you need to cut it off. If it's contrary, it'll destroy you eternally. And you and I got the ability to do that. I don't care if you've been living with somebody for 15 years and you say, man, I love that parent, then get married. Right? It's simple. God made it simple. We can't make excuses for it. Don't email. Don't text. Don't telephone that person. Don't talk to them. In the same way, if you are faced with an unbearable temptation, you need to cut it off. You need to get rid of it. Take the willpower factor out of it and throw it out. There's a show, I don't know if it's still on, it's called The Biggest Loser. Anybody ever hear of it? It had a show about obesity and who can lose the most weight. One of the contestants was sitting at the table with a huge plate of food in front of him. He was just getting ready to shovel one of it into his mouth when his trainer grabbed his arm to pull the fork away. He said, "Don't you dare or I'll stab your arm." But she grabbed the plate away from him and dumped a whole shaker of salt on the food. She said, "Never depend on your willpower. Take the willpower factor out and destroy the food so you can eat. Then the decision is over with." It's a good point, isn't it? You cut it out. See what I mean? If you have something in your life, if you have addiction in your life, if you have pornography in your life right now, and you have a computer, get rid of your computer. "But I need my computer." Then only use it when you're in front with somebody else. Get rid of it. If your iPhone, get rid of it. Get one of the flip lips. Get rid of anything that will destroy your soul for eternity. Cut it off. Get rid of it before it's too late. Never depend on your own strength to overcome temptation. Cut it off. Focus on the Lord. That's how the Lord told us to do it. He said, pluck it out. Pluck it out. And then we need to love him with all of our heart, mind, and soul, don't we? Fall in love so much with Jesus that your conviction will be so strong and your love with him be so great that you're willing to do anything to so you don't offend that loving God that we serve. And he'll rescue you. He will, promise you, he will. But you are responsible for cutting off anything that stands between you and him. As I. It's my responsibility. I hope you're not sleeping spiritually right now. I hope your spiritual ears are open, because if you know somebody in the family, friends, even if you're not having issues, you need to tell them. You need to warn them. I hope your spiritual ears are open to receive this and you're not spiritually sleeping, that the enemy will not let you just let this message go by, because it's vitally important and it's taken over a nation and a world. Many people are being destroyed. Our young children, people, if you only knew what they're being faced with right now. Look at in the libraries with these perverts coming in. Look how they're destroying the young people in America and around the world. And it all starts many times through pornography. God can save them too. He loves his creation. Matthew 5:30 says this. This is important. "And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." See how serious God is about sin? That's how serious he is about it. Now, we don't want you all in here chopping your hands off either, but it's an example of what God is showing us, that we need, how serious he takes it, how it can destroy us, and we can lose and end up in eternal hell by letting that become our Lord. We need to do it. You know, my best porn deterrent, it's called the club. That's mine. My wife will beat me with it if I ever look. See, you must confess the problem to your spouse. You need to confess the problem to your spouse and to a friend who can keep you accountable. Why? Typically, the addict becomes isolated from family, acts differently, has to hide the secret lifestyle. And this is damaging to the whole family. See, brokenness brings in the renewal of a relationship with God when your heart becomes broken. Matthew 21:44, "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken." And that, I believe, is the Messiah. "But on whosoever shall fall, it will grind him to powder." It will break him. It will bring a brokenness into his or her heart, and God will be able to do a work within their spirit. And David's brokenness and repentance is what brought him back into right relationship with God. He did not want to damage that relationship with this loving God. Psalms 51:2-3 says, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." Psalms 51, verses 7 and 8, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Psalms 51, 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And lastly, Psalms 51, 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. He won't turn you away. I like that because the word confirms me. God says, I did not come into the world to condemn it, but to save it. He's always looking to rescue us from this sinful world. The road to recovery is, it's not a quick fix. Did you know that? It's not a quick fix. In very few cases, it can be in certain addictions and things, but the pornography, the sexual part of it, is not a quick fix. You must start with repentance in Jesus and trust in that shed blood that was run down Calvary's cross to wash you. And the more broken, the better. Let him cleanse the guilt, wash away the sin, give you a new beginning, make you a new creation, and changes in your devotional life. And then get away with God. Walk according to the Spirit. I tell you what, it's like a wake-up call when you wake up in the morning and the guilt is gone, the condemnation is gone out of your and my life, and we can only but rejoice and praise the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit says, now go help somebody else. Go out and look for somebody else that has issues. See, most addicts are more familiar with the world's offerings like sports and TV and other things than with sitting in the Lord's presence, the one who will transform your desires. Come out and be separate. See, you were designed to be sanctified, set apart. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Did you hear that? Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We need the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 6:18, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
That's a loving heavenly Father. That's a loving heavenly Father that wants you and I as sons and daughters, a holy, righteous, pure God. And there are plenty of laws in the Bible of all which God wants us to obey. Not because he wants to control us, because he knows when we obey the certain things that he's asking us to do, it will prevent us from falling into the many things that can destroy us for all eternity. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, 27 and 28, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her committeth adultery with her already in his heart. God warns us. God warns us. But it's funny how we justify these sins to accommodate our lifestyle. But the truth of the matter is if we break any one of them, then we are guilty of breaking the first one. And I'm not, that's a whole nother sermon, but I'm going to stay away from that today. And anytime we put something or someone before the greatest love in our life, we have committed adultery. We've committed adultery. Our goal in Christ is to love the Lord to such a degree that no one and nothing compares to the relationship we have with him. No one. An incredible thing happens when we take time to get away with our Lord and have encounters with him. We grow more passionate about God. We need more Christians that are passionate about God and not afraid to speak his name and to live your life for him. You know, and people, you know, I've been called many names in my Christian walk, and they actually encourage me. Isn't that weird? I never get mad about it. They actually encourage me. They strengthen me spiritually. When somebody's ridiculing me because of my Christian walk or they're poking fun of me, that actually gets me fired up and said, man, Lord, I got to get my life on fire here. I said, no, Jesus isn't a crutch. He's not a crutch to me. And even if he was, what a crutch. Because you, guy, You need drinking, sex, and everything else, gambling and everything else to keep you happy is all I need is Jesus. And I know I have fun too, but do it according to the Word of God. See, we realize how meaningless and selfish life is without Him. And in it, and the things we thought were so important before becoming less interesting. The more you fall in love with Jesus, the things you thought you had need of. Look at all the people who have millions of dollars. They have everything they want in life, go everywhere. Look at what's this guy's name that was just in the news, Epstein. Is that his name? The guy that was having children pornography and all the different things. He's a multimillionaire many times over, and he was the most discontent and unhappy person in the world because he had nothing and he thought he had everything. And all he needed was Jesus. Now he's a dead man. Went into all eternity. And he had everything to live for. But he used it for selfish desires. He didn't want nothing to do with this, but he got caught up in pornography, perversion, and things like that. And the devil didn't just kill him. He destroyed him for all eternity. And that's what he does, Satan desires for you and I. And I'm almost done here. See, when one of the marriage partners runs after someone else, the trust is broken. And when we call the... And then we call that person an adulterer. This is what happens when we place other things before God. We become adulterous. We betray God and ourselves when we sin against Him. Power of God's commandment is life or death. Separation or reconciliation. The stakes are really high, people, what God is talking about here. Therefore, if there's anything at all which separates you from God, then you must get rid of it. The spirit man will be thankful to you for a long time to come. You need to get rid of it. Romans 6:19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. We can do that with the Lord's help, amen? Hebrews chapter 10, 15, 23, whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in to the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, though the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is a faithful and promised. The washing of the word. This will wash you and I. If your mind's filthy, get into the word of God. God tells you what to think on. If you need to get in there and read what God tells you and I to think on, when you think on things of good report, things that are true and faithful and pure and honest and good, think on those things. If the enemy's trying to take your mind and keep thinking on the other. In conclusion, in church, when a dark thought attempts to nest itself in our minds, we should shoo it away, right? Because we expect God's presence there. But what about when we're home alone? When we leave the church and we go home now? We go into our own rooms or whatever. What happens then? What do you do with your own spiritual thought life while you're away from the house of God? Do you feed the birds? Do you nurture unhealthy thoughts? Have you entertained sexual fantasies? Or although the church has within it the power and the ability to overcome all sin by the power of God through Jesus Christ, yet it is still a place full of people on the mend, people that need healing, all of us. Nobody's better than anybody else. Let's all stand, please. See, people need healing because they have a stronghold that needs to be broken. And one of the most common strongholds people deal with, especially today because of the influence of sexually pervasive society, is sexual sin. And the simple answer to sexual sin is Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. See, but the road back home from sexual sin to Jesus, it's not a simple road. And the path to recovery, as with that of any life-controlling habit, is difficult and oftentimes very painful as God takes you through the process. But I tell you, I want to encourage you, if there's anybody in here and you're controlled by any sexual sin, pornography, perversion of any type, there's hope. His name is Jesus. I've watched him deliver people that were in the depth of depression and despair, hooked on pornography and other things, and God's delivering them. And today I'm reading reports all around this country how God is saving and delivering people out of horrible things. But it's a process sometimes. And that's where the enemy tries to trip you up. You say, what's the use? I've tried Jesus. I hate that. I tried. You don't try Jesus. You don't try him. With every head bowed, I just want to ask again, is there anyone in here this morning said, Pastor, I've never surrendered totally to Jesus Christ? And Jesus said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there are none righteous, none. And the wages of sin is death. That means separation from God. That's what sin does. Is there anybody in here say, Pastor, I want to repent of my sin in my life? You may even be somebody who's been a Christian for years, and you haven't been living the way you should, and you need to get right with God. This is another opportunity before you die or Jesus comes. I'm giving that to you right now, and I'm not calling out as condemnation or anything, but is there anybody in here say, Pastor, I'm going to lift my hand up right now and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to recommit my life to Jesus. Is there anybody? Holy Spirit moves. I know this is a very delicate subject for people, and you don't want anybody to know. And I'm not asking you to reveal anything in your life if you've got any issues in your life. But this is a place, this is a hospital for the sick. And if you need prayer this morning, I'm going to be up here after the service and I want to pray with you. And nobody's going to be condemning, pointing fingers, because everybody in here has been a sinner saved by grace if you're a Christian. And we're here to help, not to hinder, not to talk about, not to anything. Our hearts go out to anybody that's walking through a terrible time, because we know what it is. I'll say it this way. How many in here would agree with me with an uplifted hand and say, Pastor, help me never to get involved in pornography? Just put your hand up. Pastor, help me never to look at pornography. Put your hand up. Pastor, help me to stay away from pornography. Lord, you see all of our hands. You're reading every heart right now. You see every lifestyle in here, Father, and we're calling upon you right now in the name of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit right now will come into our hearts. And if there's anyone in here right now and you're struggling deeply with pornography, I would ask, Holy Spirit, that your conviction be so strong, not condemnation, but your conviction will be so strong up on them that they will strive with all their might to cut off and to pluck out anything that is making them, helping them to stay in that lifestyle or to be tempted toward that lifestyle. Lord, I pray that you convict them and help them to run to a loved one, run to a close friend they can trust, and to do things they need to do to start getting right with you, Lord, to be regular in church, around fellowship, people of like faith. Need to be in the Bible, even if it's a chapter a day. Prayerfully, waking up in the morning, say, God, I'm weak this morning. Give me strength. Lord, help me to look away from evil today. Lord, help me to turn my head away from lusting after another person. Lord, cleanse my heart. It needs cleansing. Lord, many times I believe we don't see miracles in church. We don't see miracles in our lives because we're hiding things. And you told us in your word that sin separates us from you. I know in Romans it says that nothing can separate us from the love of God, nor height, nor depth, nor principality, nor anything, nor any unseen thing. But one word in there, Lord, I noticed I did not read when I read that yesterday, is the word sin. Because sin separates. It separates from you. It separates from loved ones. And so, Lord, I ask that the Holy Spirit will continue to convict all of us, even me, Father, going forward, because as we approach this world we're living in, the enemy is out there ready to trip us up and to steal, to kill, and destroy us for all eternity. And Lord, I pray over every person right now, the blood of Jesus Christ, over their minds, over their lives, and that you will move in every home, and that we will be people of God, and Lord, that we will have the victory. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we are more than conquerors to them that are in Christ Jesus. And by the word of our testimony, and by the blood of the Lamb, we are overcomers. And Lord, help us to be overcomers in these last of the last days in which we live. And we thank you, we praise you, touch every home, bless every home, Father, move upon every home in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Lord bless you. Look at somebody today and tell them that Jesus is Lord and I have the victory. And I'm glad you got to see me again. I'm going to be up here for anybody who would like prayer too.